So we resume to page 698 of the agenda. Now, this is where I think the chair probably does need to take a bit of initiative in sorting out which order in which we vote for things. So I propose to, in fact, with your leave, I would suggest that we deal with the deputy mayor position first. Now, that is actually the next item on the agenda. But just it's what I would call the natural order of things. Yeah, so with the leave of the meeting, we'll go over to page 701 and go with that. So I think we'll go straight into it and ask for any nominations for the position of deputy mayor for next year. We have Councillor Hull, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Crossland.
Peter Phil, general preference.
Three nominees. Right, I'll ask each of you in turn to make a brief statement. I'm not sure that you need a full 2 minutes. You all know who you are. Councillor Hull, you kick off.
I've got plenty of time on my hands and I'll be very good.
I appreciate your succinctness tonight. Councillor Pryor.
I think everybody knows me. Yeah, worked with me now for a number of years. I think it's a good time for me to step up and try.
Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'll just echo with Councillor Hull. I think just vote on who you know. Usually with my shift work, I've done the job before, and usually cover a lot of the manual duties, which is a lot of the time during the day.
Thank you. You can each take one sheet of purple voting paper. You must put a, if there being one vacancy, you must put at least one name next to number one.
Optional
but you may, it is optional preferential. You may put one, two, or three names.
Chambers.
Ms. Thwaites.
Councillor Hutchinson and Councillor Jason are willing to text.
You'll be texting Ms. Thwaites for your vote, and she'll then destroy the text.
Is your right to say?
As long as they can be identified.
Sure.
Is that because we share the same first name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's councillor.
Councillor.
Yes, I just voted for councillor. Just put all of those in a hat, pick one out. Right. What can we do? Oh, actually, we want to open after you. I think it really won't take very long, so rather than going on with other business, we might just wait. So, members, what I was going to do then was go to presiding member of Asset and Sustainability and then presiding member of Planning and Development Committee and then go to membership of those two committees and then on to review and selection. And then we'll look at.
Can I ask a question with regards to membership?
Yes.
Can we be a member of more than one committee? So, for example, Asset Sustainability and Review and Selection?
Yes, that was the intention, I believe. So that is a new thing. But what we are trying to avoid, it may not be as explicit as it should, but the idea is at least to not double up on the two major committees. But provided there are sufficient vacancies, well, if there are vacancies to be filled, they'll be filled. But made it a bit stretchy so that all of the committees might be a little bit bigger, or they might work out about the same.
No worries, thank you.
So Mr. Lyons has handed me a bit of paper with, I believe, the successful candidate, and that is Councillor Pryor. Congratulations. So, do I have, go back to page 698, this item on the agenda, various committee positions, and a call for nominees as presiding member of the Asset and Sustainability Committee. Councillor Schilling, Councillor Hull. I have two nominations. Perhaps we'll just get straight into the voting. Got three names down, you're doing something wrong. perhaps while we're the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group. Any nominees? Councillor Telfer? Just Councillor Telfer at the moment. So let that be noted. Yeah. We'll just take one nomination. Councillor Telfer. This was the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group. Any nominations? Councillor Telfer? Councillor Masika?
Yes.
All right. Any others? If not, then there is room for two there, so let those two councillors be noted. Well, we have a result. Councillor Schilling. So, congratulations. Now I ask for nominations as presiding member of the Planning and Development Committee. Councillor Mason, Councillor Hutchinson. I have two nominations.
I'll withdraw, Your Worship, and let Councillor Mason go.
Okay, Councillor Mason, the only nomination. If there are no others, then Councillor Mason will be presiding member. Now, at this point, I'll throw in, I recall that Councillor Gard expressed interest to me over the phone informally, knowing that he was on leave, or going to be on leave, in the Review and Selection Committee. So, just may not make a difference to anybody, but I'll just, I did mean to express that at some point. So now let's go back to the membership. We've done kind of presiding members. Go back to members of the Asset and Sustainability Committee. So we just remind us of numbers 4 to 6 positions. So who would like to be a member? Councillor Hull, Councillor Crossland, Councillor Pryor. Yes, you can.
It's going to be a great committee.
Could be Councillor Gard, in addition. Sorry, you're saying no, he's not here, that's right.
Can you read out the list again?
Okay, we're talking about membership of the Asset and Sustainability Committee. We've got Councillor Hull, Councillor Crossland, Councillor Pryor.
And Councillor Schilling is the chair as well.
Councillor Schilling is the chair. Probably afterwards.
I could
come back to it, I suppose.
Correct. Planning and the Development Committee and the Asset Sustainability Committee don't fall on the same nights, do they? So you could be a member of both committees, is that correct?
Well, you could, but I mean, the design of this thing.
I understand.
It's okay to have small committees, but it starts to, the wheels fall off if the committees get too big. So that hence the number limits. Let's leave that for the moment because it might sort itself out. Who would like to be member of the Planning and Development Committee? So I've got Councillor Hutchinson, I've got Councillor Masika, I've got Councillor Clancy, I've got Councillor Telfer. Right, good. Let those names, well, in fact, let those assessment and sustainability names be recorded, and those names for the Planning and Development Committee as we work out where it's going to fit in. I suppose we'll put the Review and Selection Committee next. So who would like to express interest there? Got Councillor Duncan, Councillor Filescu, Councillor Garr, thank you. And that, unless there are others, that would be the max we were after, wasn't it?
Too many.
All right. Contested it is. So let there be a ballot for that. We've got councillors Duncan, Villescu, and Garr.
I'm happy to pull out and I'll go on the development one. Neither of those people have had the only one has had experience on that, I think, so that's fine.
Put the voting paper in your pocket if you like. There's a little preferential vote.
Say that for next year.
No election there. We've got Councillor Duncan and Councillor Gard elected. Now, Councillor Valescu was adding his name to the Planning and Development. Was that right, Councillor?
Yes,
that's what he said. So we've got five there at the moment. We've got three on the Asset Sustainability. I've got, for Asset and Sustainability, I've got councillors Hull, Crossland and Pryor.
I think we'll just clarify if the Review and Selection Committee did say two or three.
Two or three. So this report for us was wrong.
Yes.
It's two or three. So, Councillor Valescu, are you popping back onto Review and Selection? There's a vacancy.
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. Now, having said that, just looking, is there anyone who's not allocated a committee at present? Councillor Duncan. Mm-hmm. You're on the selection.
There's another one I want to be on.
Oh, what other one?
Finance and Audit.
Right. Well, thank you. I was just coming to that. Any interest in the Finance and Audit Committee? We've got Councillor Duncan. And Councillor Councillor Duncan. So one is the minimum number, isn't it? So that will be fine. So Councillor Duncan can be reported there. And then...
Still think you'll have more interest in finance and order if it was after hours.
Indeed. But it is important for the independent members being a majority to determine their suitability.
I understand. Just advising, I know there are several councillors around here, myself included, that would like to be on the committee, but we can't make time during the day.
I don't know how to facilitate that other than to make that request known to the current members.
So through the chair, the FAC will set its agenda and its timetable at its next committee meeting in December. So although the December meeting is set for during the day, if the committee wish to change that to night time for 2021, then they can do that at the December meeting because they set the timetable themselves. So if they wish to switch it to an evening meeting, that will be a discussion at that meeting. And the reason why we do it that way is to allow the new elected member to then have influence for the next year.
Which may or may not meet their preferences.
Yeah.
So after that discussion, is there any more interest?
Does Councillor Garden will go around again?
Not indicated to me.
Is that happy to read?
Keep feeling that I've missed something. Now, Councillor Lescu, although you're on the Review and Selection Committee, that's not a problem. Did you wish to be on the Planning and Development Committee in addition?
I guess I'll only just do the one. So have we got enough on planning and development? It's been a bit hard to keep track.
Well then, we'll keep going. I suppose at this point we could open it up for someone who's on planning and development to also be on asset and sustainability, because we could do with one additional member there. Got councillors. Got councillor Schilling chairing, councillors Holcross on the prior. And yeah.
I only thought it would be councillor Garber, but we're interested in
that. Yeah, it wasn't indicated. So, all right. I think we can leave it at that then. And if there is a free spot, then that's fine. Somebody may wish to join. So have staff reported all of those names? I think everyone's got them. So they should all be. Just check them, everyone, please, up on the screen. That'll need to be shared with those offline. Yeah, that looks correct to me. If there's one more down the bottom of the page, isn't there, the reconciliation one? Yes, good. All right, someone like to move accordingly. Councillor Schilling, second to Councillor Duncan. All those in favour? Carried. Councillor Bolescu, was that?
Yeah, I'll go on the planning committee instead of review and selection if I can.
Okay. So with the leave of the meeting, are the mover and seconder happy with that correction to the motion?
Sure.
And that would actually kind of get the numbers balanced.
Sorry, which committee was
that will leave review and selection as Duncan and Gard, and it will mean the planning and development. Okay, so that's that's an on planning and development, which is not too many. Okay, mover and seconder agree. So with the leave of the meeting, the motion is re-expressed, and we'll have the vote again. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Oh, the deputy mayor position wasn't. We didn't actually move and second it.
Was there a recount?
Well, we might. Would someone like to move accordingly?
What do you have?
Actually, you probably should. Move Councillor Mason, second to Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we've sorted out the deputy mayor as well. Maybe just a note to staff to put that report first next year. Now, let's surprise back. Oaklands Park Renewal, DPA, page 703. Councillor Alescu's expression.
Can I have a brief explanation on this?
Explanation, yes. Leaves granted.
I'm going to exclude myself from this meeting just because I don't want to be seen to influence council submission on this. I would like to say, though, that there are some things that council has very little control over. And I think it's important that we let the community know the extent of how we can control these sorts of developments. So that's all I'll say, and I'll withdraw myself from the meeting.
All right. Thank you. That's noted. See the conflict of interest. Well, Mr. Del Kearns, do you want to just give us a very brief update?
Sure, thank you. So through the chair, thank you for accommodating this report tonight. You'll see the consultation on this DPA closes on the 12th of November, so it's important for a decision if one is to be reached to be heard tonight. The DPA for the Oaklands Park, known as Oaklands Marine Development, came to us only a few weeks ago to comment, and from our analysis really shows to our best review a policy framework which reflects concept plans which the HRA has in Renewal Australia, the private company has been as in council over the last several months, and indeed has established an infrastructure deed with council for the parts that we can influence. So for council to be confident that that process is sort of sits outside but interconnected into this DPA process, which is really our chance to review the policy, and from our analysis the policy best reflects the intent shown by the developer thus far.
Mr. Delacombs, I've had representations about trees and the redevelopment, loss of trees. What are we doing about that?
Thank you, through the chair. So it's noted that Councillor Hull has been with developers for a bit of a better explanation about what exactly is going on, and I believe staff will be there as well. It was known to us through this that there will be a net positive in terms of trees. And I'm not sure whether the concept plans at this stage have earmarked exactly which trees might go in terms of some having to go. I'm not sure that there is that level of detail yet. But I'm sure that there are a net positive in terms of the amount of trees being planted in the area.
Over to you, members. Councillor Hart.
It's a question for Mr. Delacombs. As a planning professional, if you had the opportunity to vote on this, would you support?
Thank you for the question. My professional opinion is that I do support this DPA. I think it's if delivered to the high degree that I'd be seeking it to be delivered to, I believe that it is an opportunity for us to show how infill development can be done within an urban fabric in terms of people's general hesitance for any level of height other than one story. So to get, we know from the planning profession that to get a development across the line, there needs to be a certain amount of numbers. And to do that at a single story level is proliferating the kind of infill that I don't particularly like to see in our community. And this one gives us an opportunity to get a little bit of height and scale in an area that's set back from the residential areas to allow us to leave the open space at the ground level for our communities and children.
Councillor Tilk.
Through the chair, can it be stated quite clearly that this housing SA land as such, after all of this, who owns the land?
Mr. Dale Coombs.
I believe that the housing SA would retain its assets, the housing trust. And there'll be a certain amount that are given over to the developer for private sale. So I believe,
Mr. Lyons, do
you? So Saha will own the number that they have at the moment. They'll retain that number, and then the remainder, which will be the majority, will be in private ownership.
Very well.
Further question then.
Yes, Councillor.
Then out of this, the housing trust land will diminish if the number is 400 and it's currently covers that amount, it's going to be that amount, then the housing renewal, HRA, are going to end up ownership of land, some 400 odd houses.
Yes, through the chair, but they will sell that for private ownership, so you and I can come along and buy that.
And who gets the money from the sale?
HRA, that's part of the development.
And they get the money for the land that was community land and housing trust land as such?
Well, they're approaching this as a whole, so it's a whole division, and they're retaining the Saha lots, and yes, they will decrease in geographic area. They'll be smaller, but they'll be the same number. And then the remainder they'll be selling these private lots to the private market.
In essence, that's the deal. The developer comes in for the government, gives the government about the same number of public housing spaces with less maintenance requirement rather than the old units that are there at the moment. And it's paid for by flogging off part of the land, and the developer gets the benefit of selling that off. And in the course of building those new residences for the housing trust, whatever it's called. Councillor Prophet.
Yeah, I've just got a couple of quick questions. Can somebody, perhaps Mr. Delacunes, tell me about the state of the neighbourhood and the houses in that area currently?
Through the chair, to the best of my knowledge and the investigations I've read towards contributing to this report, I understand that the asset base that is in this area for the houses that are owned are in poor condition and in need of renewal.
That's good. And do you believe that council's done everything they can to influence this DPA in a positive manner? But what we know, we've got the outcomes for.
Through the chair, I believe so.
I agree with you. So I'm happy with that.
All right.
We've done what we can to influence this in the direction the council wants us to take, and this area is due for removal. So.
Very well, it's been moved. Is it seconded?
No, I'm just asking a question.
Question from Councillor Hall.
It follows on from Councillor Lescue. He makes a good point that this is not like a normal development application. We don't have the same ability for input. It's improved, as you know, Mr. Mayor, initially we were excluded completely. But what was the term they used? They set up a precinct of some sort. Yeah. And I think that maybe even in the recommendation, it needs to have some inclusion there about community education, about this proposal, the council's role, the council's capacity to do the normal guidance and approvals. That's not the case for this. Because at the moment, like even on 8-9, I'm understanding this project feature with David Bevan. And there's a lot of misconceptions about the project, people making commentary that don't even live in the area, that are not getting the same literature or the same opportunity to go to public meetings. And I think we need to actually make it very clear what is proposed, and particularly with Raja reserves, some view that not go, and that's not the case, we know that. But I think it's important in the recommendation that we need to have some public education component of this. I agree with Councillor Erskine.
Well, that's a very fair point, Councillor Hull. I mean, legalistic approach would say, oh, this is somebody else doing this development. You just leave it to them to communicate with the community. But we actually have a vested interest in doing so, and because we care for them, for one thing, and we can help explain what may not be explained by the developer. So the question really is whether that needs an amendment or an extension of that motion, or whether it can simply be done administratively as part of our communication program. And in other words, for example, a letterbox struck for the area. It's not a huge area.
There's people buying it. It's the laser that was on the background on this morning, losing the hour, as far as I know. And it is a district. So people living in Warradale have made commentary about this because they don't want it to happen in Warradale. So it is a bit broader than that area in terms of people's observations and misconceptions.
Very
and the fair. Trees is another issue, Mr. Mayor.
And you're going to be taking that up.
Well, I'd like to see what we've established from that meeting articulated to the community, because I drove around there today and look, roughly it could be half a dozen trees of any capacity that might. There's even an Alabo pine stack in there.
I think we'll have to take this as your speaking opportunity in the debate, although it hasn't been seconded yet, and I don't think you want to do that. So it's getting a bit messy. Mr. Della Coombs.
Yeah, I'd just like to remind the Chamber there is a city limits coming out in approximately 4 weeks. Communications is advised on what they
want to do. That's clearly an opportunity. It's not for Councillor Clancy.
We've got a new city limits to communicate, and I guess that's our only avenue, one of our only avenues now that the message is not running. Lots of residents don't get the city limits. I've had people from Halifax say it. I've never received them in Glengowrie and other residents, so we need to work out what's going on there.
We do. Perhaps you could have a chat to Mr. Clark about that, because he can follow up with whoever we pay to distribute it to right across the city. Now, we've got a motion that's been moved, but is it seconded? Councillor Mason, did you want to speak to it? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull, I did cut you off then because it was in a sense out of order, but do you want to take up the speaking opportunity?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I won't be speaking against it, but I have some concerns about the project. It's just
that sounds like speaking against it.
It depends which way I vote, obviously, which way. I'm approaching this with some trepidation, that's all I'm saying. It needs to be backed up with that community education aspect, and that's not in the motion. That's why I have got some hesitation about it.
I think if management say that they will make efforts to communicate to the community and the board community through city limits about the implications of this DPA and council's approach. I'm sure it'll be done. Whether you're happy with that or not, Councillor Hull, is a separate issue.
Well, when I asked Mr. Della Coombs of his professional opinion, I got the answer that the best answer I could expect for. However, is Mr. Della Coombs or are we as a corporation in a position to totally control that? And I don't think we are. That's the area of anxiety that I have. As much as we have the best intentions in our planning stuff, it's not a traditional project, it's far from it. In terms of my time on council, I've seen this happen with Mitchell Park. It was similar. I remember the mayor and the guys knocking down the houses, and that has been an improvement in that area compared to what it was.
All right. Any other speakers in favour of the motion? Then I'll put the motion. Well, Caspar, anything in reply? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. So we can proceed. If Councillor Lescu is still about, he could be advised that the item has concluded. and if following our usual practice, if the ward councillors and mayor at least could be advised of management's communication intentions, that would be appreciated. On page 735, members, we've got endorsement of public guidelines. They've been out, they've come back, and here they are. Councillor Telford, move as printed. Councillor Duncan seconded. Councillor Kirby, did you wish to speak to it? Councillor Duncan? Anyone against? Then I'll put that. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. And now we proceed to the parklet issues, page 767.
I'd like to move that we keep the existing parklet at the Lampshade Cafe, at Coffee Shop, sorry. I think it's been a really good asset to have for the Lampshade Coffee Shop as well as all the shops around the area. I think the fact that it's allowed them to employ two new staff has been a really good bonus for them and also for the economy. And I also would like to see, an EOI go out to other potential businesses that could have one using the lampshade as a case study, basically, so they can see exactly how this has worked for them. And I think maybe the EOI didn't get many responses last time because people didn't know what part it was and didn't know how to work their business.
Sounds like a place to park a small car, doesn't it? Councillor Mason, here's a suggestion that we split up your intention in two parts. So one is to deal with the current parklet, because essentially I see that you're moving option one. It's all the options are listed in brief on page 768. So you're moving option one, and as far as the EOI is concerned, I just wonder if it would be better to leave that to staff to bring back as a separate motion, because it probably is a separate body of work, and that way you don't have to worry about writing it out on the spot and us making a decision on the run.
Yeah.
So if you could work with staff on that, I'm sure Ms. Griffiths would be happy to help with that. She was basically running the urban activation project previously. So I'll just ask Ms. Thwaites, do we need anything else in the motion, or that's basically current scenario would, I guess that sums it up. Should we actually be a bit more explicit, like current placement of carpet?
Sorry, just phrasing it out.
Oh. Thought you were judging the.
No, I'm just agreeing with the statement of it's cold.
Now, I've got the motion moved.
Questions?
A question, yes.
I was going to suspend standing orders, but it sounds like we're nearly on the same page. The two questions are, one, look, this is pretty bespoke, and I'm not sure whether it can be easily moved without damaging it and whether it fits somewhere else. The other question is around the maintenance. Why is it that it's costing so much to put some oil or whatever we're doing to it? Could that be something that the lampshade can take over as part of its permit, maybe for an extended period rather than a permit every year?
So, Mr. Salmon?
So when we first initiated this, I think we were aware that it was a big ongoing maintenance cost.
Thank you, through the chair. It's been discovered that it is, but we didn't realise quite that much either. That's the cost that's come back when we've asked the contractor to provide a quote to maintain it, to restain it. As far as the question of whether the lampshade can meet the cost, we haven't asked that question.
$90 a week. That's practically a job for somebody.
Another job. It's pretty cheap. They're getting quite a big extension to their business for zero cost, but quite a big cost to rate base moving forward.
Well, at this, you've asked the question, Councillor Crossland. I've got the motion. As it is. So now all I can do is call for a seconder. Councillor Masika.
Yes, I'd like to second the motion and to bring to the motion.
Very well. Then is there any people, any members opposing or asking questions? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, it's probably as much as a personal explanation, but our members might notice that Mr. Salmon discussed this with us in board briefings, and we did talk about the probity issue that we aren't seen as giving a particular business exclusive benefit, that we open it up to the rest of the city for them to have an opportunity as well. And Lampshade would gladly be to stay there. That is true. They really like that partner. But there's, as you know, Mr. Mayor, there's been suggestion of impropriety by a member of the public directed towards me in particular about that particular partner. And I wanted to, through the board briefings, I wanted to demonstrate privacy in the motion. That's where it come from, members. It's not as if we were trying to make life hard for Lampshade. It's to try and reasonably address the assertions made by one particular fellow that this is all above board. And as you know, I've never received a free coffee at Lampshade. And as you know, there's other cafes that I've been trying to help as well. And we'll gladly help other cafes, and particularly in your ward over there, if it could do with a leg up, with cafes, no doubt about it. I think the two-part approach that the mayor mentioned about coming back with another report is probably a good idea, because this has demonstrated itself. Hopefully, Mr. Salmon will have more data for us to look at about the activity that's happened at Lampshade, not only with the cell phone activity there, but also the number of staff he's put on, increases in revenue. We can get to that. So we've got some evidence-based figures to act on in terms of deploying this through the rest of the city. And hopefully in that report, Mr. Salmon will also mention the virtues of different applications. It doesn't have to be a part of it. It can be upgrading the existing verge and veranda areas to get a similar outcome, like Benson Brown, for example. There's a couple of really good examples that just happens to be in the Premier Ward. But I'd love to see that extended to other parts of the city. And I'd like to know from there whether we are actually demonstrating diligence in terms of that question of privacy.
Well, look, I can answer that from the mayor's point of view in relation to governance issue that you've raised. First of all, I think we can take that as a valid contribution in the debate. It's not merely a personal explanation, but the sequence is very clear in my mind. I'm very happy to put it on the record. Look, Councillor Hull, it's fair to say that you were an early advocate of the what was then called, I think initially, the urban acupuncture idea. And the idea was small individualised improvements in the public spaces around the city, which might in turn benefit neighbouring businesses. I supported that, the majority of council supported that, and so we had the urban activation project. We allocated $250,000, and I'm satisfied from my discussions with staff at the time that there really was a thorough dissemination of the possibilities to all of the businesses across the city. Now, some businesses get documents from council and put them in the bin. I'm not saying everyone was aware of it, but I do believe there was adequate and thorough publicity at the time. Any business could have bid for one of these improvements outside their premises. It so happens that of the, I don't think there were too many more than the five or so successful projects, but Pashay was one of them. There could have been 100, but as it turned out, I think there are about five projects which we supported. Now, it happens that of those, the most expensive, but also the most successful, has been the one outside Lampshade Cafe. The only concern I've raised about it with staff is the fact that it should have clearly been marked as a City of Marion structure, and therefore hinted that it is available for any member of the public, not just patrons of the cafe. But having said that, there are the other sites at the MCC, the Trot Park neighbourhood shops, some improvement outside the Once and Again Cafe. So there are these other examples, and it's pretty hard to discern from that, I think, any sense of favouritism. So, I'm satisfied that it's all been above board, and it just so happened that the successful projects, after going through the criteria for acceptance, amounted in the cost to pretty close to $200,000, which was the amount we allocated. That was a coincidence, but that's how it turned out. But it was felt that in part, and I'm interpreting here, but because there wasn't widespread passionate support by businesses for the exercise, it was decided we'll just leave it there as a discrete option. And there was a report that came back, I think about a year to 18 months afterwards, with visitor data, and that demonstrated that Lampshade worked, a couple of others worked to an extent, a couple didn't work, but you know, overall it's worth doing, but not necessarily worth pursuing. Having said that, I'm not discouraging Councillor Mason from working with staff to bring forward another iteration of it in some way to possibly help other cafes. But no, in all of that history, which is worth probably repeating, there's nothing that, in my mind, or that I've become aware of, raises any governance issues. Now, who were we? Councillor
Blister. I've just got a question with these type of projects. What happens when the business finishes? Who's responsible for the infrastructure that they have provided, either through grants or outside of grants, on our land or on public land?
Councillor Blister, the parklet remains a City of Marion asset in this case. And that's the case for the other improvements that came out of that urban activation project. So if for example, that whole group of shops was knocked down and became a residential development somehow, there is nothing to stop the City of Marion from taking the parklet and putting it somewhere else. But would management like to.
What about things like in car parks on private land that we've provided that then start to fall to rack and ruin? Is that something that we would at least be involved in?
Car parks on private land, the general law is going to remain as improvements on private land. So unless you can be more specific,
I can follow that up with staff offline, that's fine.
Councillor
Clark? Yeah, I'm interested in exploring the maintenance a little bit, because Councillor Crossan raised an interesting point about the maintenance of the device. Is there a way where we could via negotiation with Lampshade look at those particular people taking over the maintenance of the device? I mean, it's directly benefiting their cafe if they maintain it well. Does that work with our lease agreement?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't work with our leased built, our what you call built facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But this is rather a different issue when you've got something external.
It's due to see in another boiling for whether you do it with them.
I mean, there's no reason why that couldn't be negotiated that I'm aware of, but staff advice, Mr. Senator?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chair, we could explore it, isn't it? And then they sort of counsel an asset. I'm trying to think of a similar precedent or a similar that we can draw a parallel with, but we definitely investigate it.
So how does that, I mean, if we leave point three in the motion, how do we go about negotiating that? Would we need to modify point three to negotiate that?
Point three ends the negotiation on that particular point.
And if I was to amend the motion to take point three out and leave the maintenance as a question, does that leave us scope for negotiation?
Yes.
I would like to do that, thank you.
Now, been moved. Has it been seconded?
Yeah.
Councillor Seeker seconded.
Can I take it out?
Yes, Councillor Price made a suggestion, and with the leave of the mover and seconder, we can take out clause three.
Yes.
That's okay. So, is leave granted? Yes, it is. So now, Sam, did you want to comment?
Through the chair, so a quick discussion then around we could negotiate something on the lines to maybe provide the materials, the oil and the standing lampshade do the work. We can negotiate something.
Getting into operation.
Yeah, so we can negotiate something.
Endorse staff to create guidelines. Well, the permit with the fee stands by itself. So, Ms. Thwaite, so you're making a point about that?
Same, but where it says endorse staff to create guidelines, you could perhaps put that in as part of the guidelines and things, and then develop a permit with a fee of.
Ms. Thwaite, what are the guidelines meant to be for in that context? Guidelines for what?
Through the chair, I think the guidelines were if council had gone down the original recommendation around looking at EOI, we could have had some to guide that.
So the new clause three could probably benefit from an amendment as well if we're endorsing option one.
Can I ask a question, sir?
Just one moment, Councillor. Maybe that needs to be replaced. It really belongs with option two. So maybe it needs to be replaced with something like endorses staff to negotiate with the Lampshade Coffee Lounge the terms on which the park will continue at the current location. Now, Councillor Mason in particular, you happy with that?
Yes.
And Councillor Seeker?
Yeah, both, yeah.
So with the leave of the meeting, move and seconder can amend those terms.
Terms as a wish instead of over.
Thanks. Now, Mr. Salmon, does that make more sense to you?
Through Shays and us.
And Councillor Hull, you had a question.
This is all shaping up quite well, and then I was just saying to Councillor Pryor, it's good that our names are not attached to it, so it gives us a bit of distance from it, if you take my point. But can I have some understanding that there will be maybe a notice of motion that will take us down maybe in the ROI process to explore the possibilities for the rest of the city? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, that's the intention.
Okay.
We've already mucked around with this so much. My suggestion is that can happen between meetings, and that's what Councillor Mason and management have said they would do. I really do see it as a separate issue, because this is the end of one project, but you're talking about starting another one in a sense. So I think that stands by itself now, and you know, council simply has to explain it to whoever needs an explanation. It's been moved and seconded and amended by Lee, isn't it? So any more opposition, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So, look, sometimes that's just how it goes, members, with motions where there are numerous possibilities. I think there are, actually, rather than taking all of these on block, I'm looking at the corporate reports, page 774. I think we allow, if we allow some questions, we could perhaps move them on block. Councillor Telfer, why don't you go first with questions?
Well, my questions are about page 774, the investment performance. I'd like to ask the managers some questions about a difficult climate in which you can be earning no percent interest, and are we heading for that next year? And even though it says we're doing better than in the LGFA, than we would be if we were having the bank rate. Where's it going, and how can we continue to get $900,000 of interest in it?
Now, I'm just asking Mr. Blake, is it better to have the motion on the books first? So we just proceed with questions first. So, Mr. Barnwell, how would you answer that?
Through the chair, well, I can tell you we won't have $900,000 of interest there. On your account, at the end of this year, the rates have dropped. Obviously, we're dropped down to, we had 4% drops last year. Our forecast this year, we're probably going to drop our issue, because we've had further drops since even the year end. So we're going to, our forecast issue will come down to about 580, I suspect. We're probably getting points, we're getting 0.45 for the LGFA at the moment, plus a 0.35% bonus, so it's about 0.8. And we probably expect that to drop even further, so it's going to be a pretty tough number to match next year. So, yeah, I'm predicting the future climate, but the interest rates are going to be held, or I don't know, so I'm just trying to get that next year.
Any other questions, Councillor Tilber?
Then that's a very general question, that what effect is that going to have on us if we're down 400,000 on interest?
Our forecast, our budget for 2021 had a figure 750, and we're going to drop that down to about 580.
All right, question over there, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, are there any things that we can do to invest more aggressively, as the name put it, within, of course, the rules of the game?
Well, we have our own treasury policy, which we incrementally stretch the rubber band about a millimetre to splash out a bit more in the last couple of years, I think, but it's still a very conservative policy. Mr. Barnwell?
Yeah, look, even look, the rates out there, you're not going to get the rates out there, no matter what you're doing, as long as we're up. We can't invest in chairs or anything else like that. That's part of our treasury policy. I wouldn't recommend changing that letter. Funds here are guaranteed will stay. We also test the funds. Quarterly base. Well, if there's an investment over $1 million, we'd actually test the funds out of the pressure next as well to try and on which last year we did actually get we were able to deposit funds outside of the HFA on three or four occasions. So we're testing as fast as we can.
We do well within the confines of conservative portfolio.
Very, very conservative.
All right, we've had some questions. Councillor Schilling would like to move the corporate reports en bloc.
Yeah.
Anything further? Councillor Duncan is seconding those items. Any further there? Any other questions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We've dealt with the English method voting process. So, questions with notice, we note the LGA membership fees item and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we're reading the agenda. I declare the meeting closed.